Lord keeps saying associations, associations, associations. If you have a Bible, open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 first. We know 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about the rapture. But there's a particular verse I want to pull out of here for you. But the Lord has something you'd like to say first, so let's just see what He wants to do here. He says, "For I've called you to be separate, so be clean." And then He just passed this through my spirit. In the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, before Jesus was the last sacrifice under the law, if everything wasn't just perfect, when the priest ministers, in particular the high priest ministered, when he went into the Holy of Holies, they had to drag him out with a hook because he ended up dead in there. He could not present himself to the Lord until everything was exactly, meticulously the way God told Moses it had to be. So when God says something, He means what He says. And although us Christians have selective hearing, I never would say selective hearing. Sometimes we like to change God's word a little bit to adjust it to fit our needs or the way we want it to be or where we want to walk, our comfort zone. But there is no comfort zone with God. He expects absolute 100% obedience, and anything less is not honorable to God. It's dishonoring Him. Very dishonorable. So everything, you know, when the priest ministered, everything had to be just right. And before the high priest went in, they had to wash him. They had people wash him up, and his garments and everything had to be just the way. I mean, you could just read through the Old Testament and see how meticulous God was about it before they presented themselves to God. And in the same way, the blood of Jesus cleanses our spirit, but God expects us to be holy and pure in every way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, He says this in verse 33. He says, "Do not be misled." Now, the Amplified Version, the New American Standard Version, and the King James Version, all three of them put it, the word deceived there. Do not be deceived. Let's just talk about deception a little bit. Very few people would ever know that they were deceived. In fact, I don't believe that anybody actually knows when they're deceived. They believe that what they're being told is the truth, or they would leave the situation. When people are deceived, they don't know that they're deceived. Has anybody ever found something after the fact and found out that you were wrong before? But you believed that you were right, didn't you, before that? Before somebody corrected you or someone brought something to your attention, perhaps. You know. Which means that you were deceived, but you didn't know. You believed that what you had heard was the truth. So deceived people don't know that they're deceived. He says in verse 33, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character." Those associations in our life are going to affect us, whether they're positive or they are negative, they're going to affect us. You will become like whoever you are associating yourself with. If you hang around people that drink alcohol, eventually you will start to drink alcohol. If you hang around people that do drugs, eventually, even though you tell yourself you'll never do it, you're most likely going to start to do drugs. If you hang around people that swear, you are going to hang around other people that swear. If you're in business and you hang around with the people that complain and murmur that things are not good, things are not going to go good for you. If you hang around people that are corrupt, that are unholy, you are going to become corrupt and unholy like them. On the other side of the coin, if you hang around people that are blameless, you will eventually become blameless. If you hang around people that refuse to lie and only speak the truth, it's going to affect you in the positive, so you start to refuse to lie and you will start to speak the truth. If you hang around people that detest the idolatrous wickedness of alcohol and drugs, you're going to start to hate it too, and you won't do that stuff anymore. You will be whoever you hang around with. If you hang around a business and recognize the fact and say, I'm not going to hang around with these losers. Everyone say losers. People that stand around complaining that things aren't good all the time are losers. Don't associate with those people. That's what they tell you in business. They say, don't hang around with the loser group. Go find someone who's successful and pin yourself to their coattail and then watch what they do and you will become successful. And that is a fact. Anybody that's ever been in any kind of business type of job will know that. Especially sales and so on. So we want to become like God. Everyone say like God. The Bible says to be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. You know? And when you're a person that's in a leadership type position and you have to mentor people that are on a lower position of morality or a lower position of conduct, then at that time you have to be aware of the situation that you're dealing with very strongly, and you have to have your guard up. Everyone say guard up. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, verse 23 and 24, it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. You have to have your guard up. Jesus said to be on guard. Mark 13, 33. Peter said, be self-controlled and alert. That's mean alertness, that you're having an awareness of associations around you, having awareness of the situations around you, analyzing everything through the Word of God as your source. So he says here in verse 33, he says again, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. How many thinks as Christians that the best place to find your husband would be in jail? Anybody? How many thinks that as a Christian, a true believer that wants to go to heaven, the best place to find your boyfriend or girlfriend would be in a bar? No? Do you think it would be the best place to find them in a club? Or do you think the best place to find a boyfriend or girlfriend or your future to be spouse would be in the church? Now, let's clarify this a little further. How many thinks that the best place to find a Christian boyfriend would be out on the streets or anywhere outside of the church? How many thinks that Christians can be found that don't go to church? You believe that? I don't believe that. Because every person that I've ever met that does not go to church on a regular basis is either backslidden or they're a hypocrite. Christians hang around in church. So if we want to be a Christian, the Bible tells us as Christians not to associate with bad company. So if we want to go to heaven, if we really want to go to heaven, the way we become like heaven, the way we become like God and imitate God is we associate with Christians, and Christians are found in church. Everyone say, in church. Amen. There's a lot of opinions out there today. They're all deception. It's all lies. People say, well, I'm the church. I'm the church. Yes, you are the church, but the word church, Jesus said, I will build my church. Matthew chapter 16. And that word church, it's the ecclesia. It's the called out ones from the world. It means that they are sanctified or separate from the world. And the word itself, if you break it down, it means this: believers called out of their houses, assembled together in public in worship. So if anybody claims to be a believer, is every believer, according to your Bible, that's the church of God, right? Amen. The church of God. So if you're a believer and you're part of the church and the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, then believers are assembled together. Jesus likened us unto sheep, didn't he? He said he'd go after the one. He'll leave the 99 in the open hills. What are the open hills? That's the church. Jesus said, I'll build my church. That was in chapter 16, chapter 18. He's still talking about the church. So someone wanders away from the church, he goes after the lost sheep and brings them back to the flock of the church that assembles together every week, right? So if we want to go to heaven, we need to be one of Jesus' sheep, amen? Say everyone, say sheep.
Sheep.
Say sheep.
Sheep.
If we're going to be a disciple of Jesus, that means we want to be a found sheep, not a lost sheep. A lost sheep would be the place that you would find a lost sheep would be outside of the church, someone who's wandered away from the church. You know, James talked about that. He said, brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth is that we need to assemble together. And someone should bring him back. That's bringing the sheep back. He said, remember this, he said, everyone who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So if that person wandered from the truth, and he says that the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth is the church according to the Bible, that means that person wandered from the church. Amen? Amen. So someone wanders from the church, you bring them from back, it says you're going to save that person who is a sinner from death. Are you with me? So we want to be someone who assembles together in church, and we want to associate with people in the church. These are your friends. Your past family, whoever it was before you were born again, if they're not saved at this hour, they're not even your family anymore. Can you prove that with Scripture? Remember when Jesus' family went to take charge of him? Because they said he's out of his mind. Anybody ever had family say you're out of your mind? And they said, someone sent in there and said, Jesus, your family, your mother, your brothers are outside looking for you. He said, he looked around at those assembled around him who were listening to him. And he said, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. He didn't even acknowledge them because at that time they were saying he's out of his mind. And it says in the book of John that even his own brothers didn't believe in him. They were mocking him. But later we know that they all repented because they were all in the upper room. James was written by Jesus' half-brother, and the mother Mary was in the upper room. So they repented after his death. That's what it took to bring them together again, to the church. The truth, the pillar and foundation of the truth, the church of the living God. We don't want to wander from the truth and have to be brought back to be saved from death, to cover over a multitude of sins. Now somebody may try to disagree all they want, but God keeps telling me, he says, warn them again. Anybody who's not assembling together in the church, he says that they're backslidden, first of all. And immediately my mind goes to dozens and dozens of scriptures we taught on that says backsliders are way worse off than an unbeliever. Everyone say way worse off.
Way worse off.
Because that means that they knew the truth and turned their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. That's not a good thing. We're going to go somewhere with this. So we want to, if we're looking for someone to marry or someone to date or friends to hang around with. We do not find our friends any other place than the church of the living God. Amen? You know, he says not to be unequally yoked. It's not good as a believer who's striving to become a leadership in the church. I wouldn't say leadership. That's what you should all be striving to become, a leader in this church. Someone who has a position of rank, who's able to help people under you now. Because you've become grown and mature and now you're strong and God can use you. And if you want to be a leader in the church, that means you need to, you need not to associate with people who are not equally yoked on your level. You want to find a mentor if you want to be a leader. You don't want to hang around with the people that are carnal Christians. Right? That's not who you want to hang around with, is if you are striving to be a leader. And we know we all start out very carnal, but God expects us to grow. And the way we grow is we make the right associations and we find the right people to hang around with. How many knows that you could have people that you believe to be your friends, but if your people that are your friends, if you're really a Christian, now we're talking about Christian, we're talking about the church today. We're not talking about people out there in the world. Talk about the church. Now, if you're a Christian, if you're a Christian and you want to have friends, if you're a Christian and you want to have friends, and the people that you believe are your friends do drugs and alcohol, they cuss and swear, they gossip and slander, how many would agree with me that those are not really your friends? Those are friends of the devil. And those people, if you hang around with them, he just tells you right here, if you hang around with them, those people are not going to take you to heaven with them. They're going to take you to hell. That's what the devil is going to use them as his puppet, because that they're controlled by him, according to 1 John 5:19. He says, we know that we, believers, are the children of God, and the whole world's under the control of the devil. Now, if they're under his control, that means they're like a puppet to him. He used them to do whatever he wants, because spiritually they're yoked together with him. So if they're doing drugs and drinking alcohol and doing all these things and cussing and swearing and gossiping and smoking and doing stuff like that, that means they're children of the devil. Believers don't do any of those things. We're separate from the world. So if believers don't do those things, and those people that do those things are of the devil, that means that you are associating with someone who's of the devil. And that's bad company. I wouldn't say bad company. Bad company corrupts good character. Let's say it. Bad company corrupts good character. Amen. So we want to make sure that we don't become corrupted. He says this. Now, I've never read this before, but I told you God said associations, didn't you? I've never read this out of the Amplified Version, but he's going to say it. Look what he says. Do not be deceived and misled. Evil companionship, communication, associations, the Amplified Version says, corrupt and depraved good manners and morals and character. It's going to corrupt us and deprave us of good manners and morals and character. And then he says this in verse 34 in the Amplified Version. It says, awake from your drunken stupor. Awake from your drunken stupor. Everyone say drunken stupor. He says this, he tells us to awake from that and return to what? The church. Return to sober sense and to your right minds and sin no more. Isn't that what Jesus told? He said the woman who caught in adultery, a lot of people say, well, Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, does anyone condemn you? But the next thing he said was, go and leave your life of sin. Amen. Sin no more. And the man who was an invalid for 38 years, he told him when he found them in the temple, he said, stop sinning or something worse will happen to you. I believe what he was referring to there is you're going to lose your whole salvation, go to hell over the whole thing. You see, because he said, come back, once he gets set free, he's going to come back seven times worse, didn't he? Yeah. Much worse. So, we need to watch who we're associating with. Your mind, your flesh will try to convince you of all sorts of lies to convince you that you can't hang around at the people in the church because I got all this anxiety and I just can't hang around in groups of people and this and that and the other. Well, then find one person in the church and cling to that person. Get some help. Amen. Right? How many knows that we need counseling? Amen. Am I the only one here that needs counseling? No. We all need counsel because He gave us our own person. Jesus said, I'll send you the Counselor. That's one of the names of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So God must have looked down and said, these people need, they got issues, they need counseling, we're going to send them. An angel's not even going to be good enough. We're going to have to, one of us is going to have to go down there. Holy Ghost, you go down there and be their personal counselor because these people have issues. Amen. Amen. How many knows that Christians have issues? Amen. But we get set free from our issues by our counselor, which is the Holy Ghost. A lot of people have pride and they don't like to go get counseling. I told one man, I said, your kids have been through a lot. They need some counseling. Oh, they're fine. Well, 5, 6, 7 years later, the oldest daughter's not going to school, refuses to go to school. You know, the youngest kid's doing this, that, and the other. They didn't want to listen to counsel I gave them to go get counseling, and the kids become corrupt. You see? That's why we need to get counseling. We need to humble ourselves, swallow our pride, and just get the counsel from the Holy Ghost. Amen. We get that through praying in tongues. That's how we humble ourselves. We obey God.
Amen.
So we're going to associate with the right people. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians, no. Chapter 6. He says to humble yourselves. For it's those who humble themselves that are like clay in my hands, says the Lord. For I am able to mold and shape those who humble themselves under my hand, who humble themselves under the counsel of my word. Those who hear my word and consider carefully what they hear and take it to heart. Those who hold my word in high honor and respect and honor my word are those who will be changed. For as they associate with my word, they associate with me, says the Lord. For I am the word of God. And when you hang with me, when you associate with me, there's only one place to go, and that's higher in me, says the Lord. So come up higher and associate with me, and I will bring you to a greater level of revelation, and I will build you up in me, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding your, what? Affection from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, pleading with the church of God, the church in Corinth. And what had happened here, as they started to associate with other teachers. I don't say other teachers. They were preaching Jesus. If you study this out according to Galatians and 1 and 2 Corinthians, they were preaching a Jesus. They were preaching a spirit. And they were preaching a gospel. But Paul called it a different spirit, a different Jesus, and a different gospel. So they were still preaching those three things, but something was different about it. And you know what it was? He says, A little yeast will work through a whole batch. He says a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Now when Jesus talked about yeast, he said, be on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees when they're in the boat. And it says, because we don't have bread. Jesus said, how is it you? He said, don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls together? He said, 1,200. And the 7 loaves for the 4,000? How many basketfuls together? He said, 7. He said, how is it that you don't understand? I'm not talking about the yeast used in bread. He said, be on your guard against the teaching, the doctrine. The doctrine. So he says, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. And what he's talking about is the doctrine from these teachers had crept into the church. And as a result, that because everything being taught from behind the pulpit was not 100% true, it entered in. They didn't guard their hearts against this. And the end result is they became tainted. Everyone say tainted.
Tainted.
And because they were tainted, when they come to Paul, and Paul's trying to bring them towards them, because Paul was absolute light, and they had partaken of yeast and doctrine that was partial darkness, it was exposing their darkness. They didn't want to come into that light anymore. And they were pulling away from the right association. They were pulling away from Paul. And Paul had to plead with them and say, look, we didn't do you any wrong. We're just trying to... We're trying to reach it. Really, it was God trying to say, look, can't you see that something's changed in you? What's happened to all your joy? So, the church of Galatia, the church of Corinth, they'd backslidden and didn't even know it because the deception was so absolutely subtle that it would take someone who had a strong foundation of the Word and a willing, humble heart to even be able to discern the fact that that's what happened to them. So Paul pleads with them in the hopes that the light's going to shine into their hearts and that they're going to get set free from the captivity of the devil who's taken them captive to do his will. 2 Timothy 2:25 and 26. So now, he says, look, open wide your hearts, come back over here. And then he says in verse 14, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Paul calls them unbelievers. It's very interesting. Do not be yoked together. Do not be yoked together. The King James Version says, do not be unequally yoked together. So we need to be equally yoked, but we don't want to be equally yoked with people who are carnal. We want to be equally yoked to someone who's an example. I wouldn't say an example. We want to find an example of someone who has godly traits, someone who has faith, someone who refuses to doubt no matter what the circumstances, a true man or woman of God. We want to find that person, and we need to realize that we're not on an equal plane with them. We need to ask that person, can you help me? I want to come up to your level. I want to be associated with the right people. I don't have any friends. I don't have any family. I just became a believer. I want to become a leader in the church. I see that you're a true Christian. I've been watching you. I see the glory of God on you, and I know that you're blessed. I want to be blessed like you. Can you help me? And at that point, that person, if they're a true man or woman of God, they're going to start to mentor you. Right? Because we're sent to serve. So they're going to serve you from the Lord's table now. So he tells us, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What do righteousness and wickedness have in common? He's saying we don't have anything in common. So when you hang around with an unbeliever, although they may have something on the natural level in common with you, maybe, you know, football, maybe they like cars, maybe they like makeup, maybe they like shopping, maybe they like cooking, you know, stuff like that. Maybe they got children, and you got children. Maybe they like to help the elderly and the elderly person homes, and you like to do that. You may have something in common on that level, but spiritually there's absolutely nothing in common whatsoever. Does the devil have anything in common whatsoever with Jesus? Jesus is light, the devil is darkness. Jesus is truth, the devil is a father of lies. Now, so he says this, and he's comparing the two, a believer with an unbeliever, to make it very clear. He says, what do righteousness, the believer is righteous, right? He says we're the righteousness of God in Christ. He says, what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Absolutely nothing. Or, What fellowship can light have with darkness? Now, light exposes darkness, right? They don't have any fellowship together. They're complete opposites. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? That's the devil. Belial. The devil. The devil doesn't have anything in common with Jesus. You would never see them sit down and eat a meal together. Yet he's calling you Christ, and he's calling them the devil. They're children of the devil. Jesus talked about that in John chapter 8. And he says, what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? So to clarify again, that's what he's talking about. He says, look, you believers have nothing in common with unbelievers. What are you hanging around with these people for? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? Now he's saying the believer is the temple of God, and the unbeliever is like an idol for a demon spirit to live in. He says, for we believers are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. That means God's in us, right? By His Holy Spirit. And I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them. Come out from who's He talking about? The devil, the unbeliever. Come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. Touch no unclean thing. Does He say touch a little bit on thing? Just a little? Can touch any? Does he say you can touch some? No. He says touch no. The word mean that means nothing. Amen. He says, the Amplified Version says this, so come out from among unbelievers and separate, sever yourself. Sever yourself. That's like breaking the yoke. Amen. From them, sever yourselves from them, says the Lord, and touch not any unclean thing, and I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor. Now, if we come to this message with an open heart and this convicts you today, you have nothing to be embarrassed about, but you do need to make the adjustments because today's the day. Jesus is coming very soon. Amen. It's not worth it. Everyone say, it's just not worth it. Say, it's just not worth hanging around with people that are not of like faith. It's just not worth it. I don't want to do that. I want to obey God. I want to go to heaven. And because I want to go to heaven, I'm going to hang out with those of heaven. Amen. We are of heaven. We are from above, we're not from below anymore. Amen. We're children of the light, we're not children of the darkness. Amen. He says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. He says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Amen. Would you say that a fruitless deed of darkness would be smoking cigarettes? Would you say a fruitless deed of darkness would be drinking alcohol as a believer? Would you say that fruitless deed of darkness would be cuss words and curse words and so on and so forth? Impatience, intolerance, hatred, unforgiveness, that's all fruits of darkness. He says to live as children of light, amen? Fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So now he says here, we are the temple of the living God. God has said, I'll live with them and walk among them. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate. 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 Verse 17. Sever yourselves, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. Do not touch any unclean thing. And I will receive you and I'll be a father to you and you'll be my sons and daughters. I mean, that's right there is enough. To be God's son and daughter, I mean, that's worth giving up the whole world for. Amen. Jesus is the pearl of greatest price. He's worth selling out everything to get that pearl. He's the treasure hid in the field. He's worth selling out everything to go buy that field. Just sell, get rid of it all. He's worth it. Right? Jesus is worth it because He's the only one that can save us. I will be a father to you, and you be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Now, we're going to have to go on here and do the prayer line now because he's moving on me that way. So we're just going to obey God. I want everybody to come forward. Don't be shy. Just come on forward. Let me pray for you while the anointing's on me. And if anybody has any, bind every hindrance and every deceptive spirit in Jesus' name. Has somebody been having problems with your ear? Anybody else with the ear? Anybody's neck been bothering? Their shoulder girdle or your neck has been bothering you? Who is that? Another one? Hallelujah. Come on. You can stand right here. That's good. Everybody line up here. Kids, if you could hang on the wall, that'd be perfect. Father, in the name of Jesus. Just stay in an attitude of worship and just expect to receive what you need from God. I'm just going to take a leap of faith here and call it a tendon or something in your leg has been bothering you. Your tendon. That's you. Father, in the name of Jesus. Ropak, we command that to line up according to God's word right now in the name of Jesus. We break every yoke. In Jesus' name, we command all those symptoms she acknowledged, Lord, we command them to leave her body right now and be healed in Jesus' name. We just praise and worship you, Jesus. We thank you every evil spirit has to leave her. We command her knee to be normal, her neck, ear, be healed in Jesus' name. All the symptoms be gone. There, I just felt it right there. The ear just received that. In Jesus' name, we praise you and exalt you, Jesus. We magnify you and bless you, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. You're a mighty healer. You're a mighty healer. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Every yoke is broken. Just receive that, Father, in the name of Jesus. We break every bondage, every yoke. We command everything to be blessed in her body. And we just praise you and thank you, Father. She is blessed. That she might be a blessing to others. Ropa che si che domonde che blambra che siete che lo tomba da chi adre ma che siete che lo tomba da chi adre ma che sia rota ma che che siete che lo tomba per ma che siete che lo tomba per ma che siete che ma ca rota ma che si Father, in the name of Jesus, we break all the hold of the enemy. We command every evil spirit to leave her, to loose her. Command everything to line up according to God's word right now. We just praise you and exalt you, Lord, for working in her. We command every evil spirit up and out of her body and out of her life. We worship and praise you, Jesus. We glorify you and exalt you, Jesus. We magnify you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command every evil spirit to leave her right now in Jesus' name. Every bondage is broken. Every yoke is destroyed. We just thank you for working in her. We praise you and exalt you, Jesus. We magnify you and bless you, Jesus. Command every evil spirit up and out of her body and out of her life in Jesus' name. There it is. Just receive that in Jesus' name. We break all the hold of the enemy in Jesus' name. We thank you for working in him. We worship and praise you. We glorify you and exalt you, Lord. We magnify you, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. We command every evil spirit to leave him in Jesus' name. Every evil spirit to leave these. You break every yoke in Jesus' name. Blota makra kasite kiloto mapriya maka. Rota makara kasite kiloto mapravakara kasite kiloto makiedra makasite kamatania maka. Rota makara kasite kiloto makara bakisite makriya maka. We break all the power of the enemy in Jesus' name. We worship and praise you, Jesus. We glorify you and exalt you, Jesus. We magnify you and bless you, Jesus. We praise you and worship you, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. We break every yoke of bondage in Jesus' name. We command every evil spirit up and out of his body and out of his life. In Jesus' name, every yoke is broken. Every soul tie is broken. We break all soul ties from any spirits, kindred spirits of the devil. We command every bondage to leave him. We command everything to line up according to God's word. Emotions be healed. In Jesus' name, body be healed. We just thank you for his body's chemistry is balanced. Everything's normal. In Jesus' name, we praise you and exalt you, Lord. We magnify you and bless you, Jesus. We command every evil spirit up and out of his body and out of his life. Everything has to go. Nothing can hide. Nothing can stay. We command every evil spirit to leave him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we break all the hold of the enemy. We command every evil spirit to leave her right now. We just thank you for working in her. We give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. What is that, Lord? Has the doctor ever said to you there's something with her ear that you know of? Does she ever play with her ears or anything? Do you understand me? Do your ears bother you, Father, in the name of Jesus? He just put that on me again. I think there might be something with her ears, so we're going to pray for her. We command everything in her ears to be normal. Every yoke is broken. We command her ears to be completely normal. In Jesus' name, everything has to line up according to God's word. We praise you and exalt you, Lord. We command any evil spirits trying to come up against her body, her ears, to leave her. We command everything to be 100% normal right now. Command your ears to be healed in Jesus' name. Any discomfort or deafness, anything trying to come up against her, I command it to leave this body in Jesus' name. I just felt the anointing get real strong on her, so he did something right there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command every evil spirit up and out of her body and out of her life. Every soul tie is broken in Jesus' name. We break all the power of Satan off of her. We thank you for working in her. We just praise you and exalt you, Jesus. You're a mighty God. We praise you and exalt you, Jesus. We magnify you and bless you, Jesus. You're a mighty God. You're a mighty God. Every bondage is broken. Every evil spirit has to go. In Jesus' name. We break all the power of the enemy in Jesus' name. We just thank you for working in him right now in Jesus' name. We just command everything to be normal. We just praise you and thank you for working in his body. He's blessed in Jesus' name. Every curse is broken in Jesus' name. Every curse is broken off of everyone here in Jesus' name. You can go back to your chairs for a minute if you would. Just take it, just rest in his presence. And okay, I'll pray about it and we'll just see what the Lord leads us to do with that. Now we want to be sure that we associate with the right people. Now, just to give you a couple examples of associations real quickly. Go on over to 1 Kings chapter 19. In verse 19, it says this, so Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah said. Go back. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment and cooked the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah to become his attendant. Everyone say attendant.
Attendant.
Follow to serve him. Now if you go on over to 2 Kings chapter 2, the next book. If you don't have a Bible, it's okay. We could just listen. And in verse 9, so what had happened here is that God had called Elisha to be the replacement prophet for Elijah. And Elisha had been following Elijah around, watching him do miracles and operating the gifts of the Spirit. You know, Jesus, when he called the man, he said, come follow me. He said, first let me go bury my father. Isn't that what he said? He said, anyone who puts his hand to a plow and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. That's similar to what happened there with Elisha. He called him and he was plowing. And there's no doubt that Jesus had that in his mind. And there's no doubt that's also why Elijah responded, what have I done to you? I just called you. I put the mantle on you. Why don't you just come and follow me right now? And he had to go do this thing. But fortunately, with the plow and the plowing equipment and the oxen, he made the right decision. I'm sure initially he didn't in his mind, but he ended up slaughtering them and using them as a sacrifice. So it ended up being a positive, even though, you know, God wasn't extremely pleased at the calling there. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you before I am taken from you. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet, if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not. As they were walking around and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. Now, he says, where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asks. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. So because Elijah had been watching Elijah and associating himself with the right associations, As soon as it was time to take over, he immediately received a double portion. Not only did he receive the portion of the amount of anointing that Elijah had, but he got a double portion, and he immediately starts doing miracles, parting the water and so on and so forth. Elisha did exactly twice as many miracles as Elijah. So he associated with the right people, and he became a better person because of it. So we don't want to hang around with the wrong people, we want to hang around with the right people. And we know in Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, Paul said about Timothy, he said, I have no one else like him. Everyone else looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. He says, but Timothy, as a son serving at his father's side, has proved himself. So Timothy associated with Paul. And because he had the right, correct associations, the end result was that he became just like a son was with his father, and to such a level that he walked in the type of holiness that Paul did. And Paul had to say, there's nobody else like him. Nobody. Out of all the other disciples, he says, nobody like this guy. Everybody else is selfish. Everybody else looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus. But Timothy, he's just like me. He's out for Jesus' interests. Why? Because he associated with someone who's like Jesus. Who? Paul. just like Jesus. He said, he said about Timothy in another place, he said, he's carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. So, Paul was carrying on the work of the Lord, just took over as the body of Christ. He said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He was walking like Jesus did, like we're supposed to. And Timothy was mentored by Paul. Now it says that the people of Lystra and Derbe spoke well of Timothy, and Paul wanted to take him along for the journey, it says in the book of Acts. So he circumcised him and took him along because of the Greeks that lived in the area. So he took Timothy with him, and Timothy followed him all the way through, and he was his helper. And he was mentored by Paul. So we see that the end result was Timothy was just like Paul. He became who he said there's no. He said he's just like me. He's like a son with his father. He became just like the one he associated with. You see? So we need to watch who we're associated with. We can be like Elisha and associate with an Elijah. We can be like Timothy and associate with someone like Paul. We could be like Jesus' disciples. Didn't they become like Jesus? Sure, after the day of Pentecost, he went out and worked miracles just like Jesus did. He said, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall I do, because I go unto the Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And he told them how they're going to do it, by the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, counselor, paraclete, advocate, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. He says the world does not know him, because the world cannot receive him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and shall be in you. You see? So the Holy Spirit, Jesus saying, look, I've been mentoring you for these 3.5 years. He says, and the miracles that I do, you're going to do them also, because you're going to have a new association. Is just like me. And he's not going to be in one geological location on the earth. He's going to be everywhere for every believer in the entire world. So you can all have the right associations. And the end result is you're going to become just like him. He says, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and show it unto you all things that the Father has of mine. Therefore say I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. John 16:12-15. What is he saying? The Holy Spirit's going to take everything that's from God the Father and God the Son. He's going to transfer that information over to the disciples. Why? Because we're associating with him. Why? Because we want to become just like him. So now, we know that we're not supposed to yoke ourselves with unbelievers. We know that we should yoke ourselves together with true believers. But when we're not around other true believers, we can every minute of every day stay continually yoked together with God by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And that's what we want to do. We want to forever be in the presence of someone who believes. And God believes, other believers believe, and we want to always be associated with those people. Anybody else, don't hang around with them anymore. And say, I won't have any friends left. I'll be your friend. I will mentor you. I will personally help you. Because we want to make sure you get to heaven. Amen? We want to make sure we get to heaven together. Hallelujah, Jesus. He said, so be together of one mind and live in harmony with one another. For it's those who become of one mind with my word and one mind with my spirit who are in harmony with me. Can two walk together except they be in agreement, says the Lord? But as you walk with me and agree with me, we will walk together as one. For there's many things, many exploits that I will do through those who allow me to walk with them, and we walk together as one, says the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Rom rakesiki elama rakesit ekelon de kolo prom bakesiti kia brabakesiti kiloto maki. Rom rakesiti kiloto maprakesiki. He said there's instant freedom for those who with their whole hearts choose to yoke together to me. For when there is full surrender of the heart, it gives me the permission and the faith that I need to set them free. For it's those who surrender every fiber of their being and every part of their heart that I can work in, for they have now humbled themselves under my hand. They no longer resist my spirit. They no longer resist my plans. They no longer resist the guidance that comes only from my hands, says the Lord. For when you choose to no longer resist any part of me, this is when you truly begin to resist the enemy, and then he will flee, says the Lord. I got to think about this for a minute. This is really good. So what he's saying, now I'm going to interpret the interpretation, because this is really deep here. As long as we're not fully surrendered to part of his word, that means we're resisting God. That's what he said there. Until we give a full surrender to God, we're still resisting him. We're saying, no, I'm not letting you all the way in. Which means that if you're resisting God to any level, it means you're still submitting to the devil. We don't want to submit to the devil. And he said that when we full surrender our whole hearts, then we are fully submitted to him, and then we can resist the devil and then he'll flee. That's what he said. That's when the authority is going to work at its fullest level. That's when you're going to really see the results that we want out of our authority. So he's asking us for a full surrender. So he said, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Why should we wait any longer? So let's pray right now and make sure that our hearts are right before the Lord. I want everybody to pray this out loud from your hearts with me. Just say, God. Say, God. Today. I make the day. That I turn from all sin. I will not serve myself. At all. From this day forward. I pick up my cross. To follow Jesus. It's no good. To gain the whole world. And forfeit my soul. What can a man give in exchange for his soul? Forgive me, Lord. Work in me, Lord. Work in me by your Spirit. I humble myself. Teach me by your word. I will obey your word. I will act on your word. I will meditate your word. I will associate with your word. So that I can become like your word. For you have magnified your word. Above your own name. Your word does not change. And Jesus is the word. Father, we just thank you for your mercy and grace. I just thank you for working in every heart. Father, help us to make the right associations in our hearts. Because, Father, we know that as long as we even flirt around with the gratification as long as we even think about the possibility of yoking together with any unbelievers, Father, we've already committed adultery on you. Father, help us to cast all thoughts down that are not pure. And help us to be just like you, Lord. We want to imitate you. I just pray for the people here, Father, that they would take this message to heart and make the adjustments and take this very seriously, Lord. We just praise you and worship you, Father. I just thank you for working in every one of us, Lord. We give you full surrender, Lord. We don't want to be wishy-washy, half-hearted disciples. We want to be true disciples. We want to be pure. And we just praise you and exalt you, Lord. You're a wonderful, merciful God. You have our hearts, Lord. Help us to not pull our hearts from your hand now. You're the potter, and we are the clay. Mold and shape our lives. Not our will, but your will be done, Lord. In Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. God loves you. Stay in the Word. Spend much time praying in tongues. Devote your life to prayer. When you're not here, we should be in prayer. That's what Christians like to do. We used to like to watch video games and TV and all that kind of stuff, but now we like to pray. That's what I like to do. I don't know. It would be, to me, it almost seem weird if people don't like to pray. I don't know what that's like. I don't look forward to anything else. You mean you really like to pray? I love to pray. I love to get done at one prayer to start the next one. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Take that presence with you. He's right here. He's pleased. So let's be just like him. Hallelujah, Jesus.